What defines Ohio? A place that dares to go first and never looks back. There's no slowing us down. In Ohio, we're powering America, discovering breakthroughs, driving the future, propelling tomorrow. At Jobs Ohio, our mission is clear: strengthen job opportunities and empower Ohio's workforce. Ohio, our time is now. See Ohio's momentum at jobsohio.com/ohio's time.
Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezvik here with you on this Wednesday morning. We'll have Paul Kuharski from paulkuharski.com coming up at 8 o'clock. Get his thoughts on the Titans. Willie Donick joining the show at 8:30 as well, so looking forward to all that. And Joe, yesterday we spent a lot of the show talking about a report from Mike Silver that the Titans were, quote, shopping Derrick Henry. And we talked about, okay, well, what does that mean? What is the definition of shopping? Is that Rand Carthon having a conversation with somebody asking what the value would be with Derrick Henry? What exactly does that mean in terms of Derrick Henry's future with the Tennessee Titans? And then a report coming out yesterday after we were off the air, which everything comes out after we were off the air, so that continues to be a thing. But Jonathan Jones from CBS Sports came out with a report yesterday, and this was a part of his, I guess, news and notes from the NFL Combine that he put together as one of CBS Sports' lead NFL insiders. Says, quote, "I know there's talk that the Titans are shopping running back Derrick Henry, but my sources tell me they are not. I had been told general manager Rand Carthon would be methodical in his approach to free agency and changes to the team. The releases of Lawan Woods weren't surprising, and cutting loose edge rusher Bud Dupree also makes sense. I don't believe the Titans see any tangible free agent upgrade at quarterback to Ryan Tannehill, and taking away the most essential part of the offense in Henry would indicate Tennessee is tanking more than anything. The Titans can very much contend in the AFC South, and they'll have to do that with Henry." So that was from Jonathan Jones yesterday, saying that according to his sources, they are not shopping Derrick Henry. So what does it all mean when you factor these two reports together? Because as we talked about yesterday, Joe, I mean, Mike Silver, pretty credible guy in the NFL. Jonathan Jones, pretty credible guy in the NFL. What does this all mean to you when you hear these quote-unquote conflicting reports?
Well, but there's a big difference in their jobs.
Yes.
Okay. So Mike Silver, he used to, write for Sports Illustrated, really good, like, feature writer. I used to read his stuff in Sports Illustrated. He's been around a long time, talks to people, but he's not an everyday boots on the ground. I cover the NFL. I talk to the GMs. I talk to the agents. I'm churning out these notebooks about NFL stuff every day. That's not what he does. So, yes, he has credibility, but to me, Jonathan Jones kind of checking on this and saying that it's not the case, it's a lot less fun for our show and all these shows. But I kind of had this thought yesterday, too. It's like, yeah, look, I'm sure someone Michael Silver talked to threw it out there like, I heard this or that. Again, assessing value, whatever it is. Jonathan Jones is much more actively involved in covering the league as a reporter than Michael Silver is. So my conclusion here is that it's not that different from what I thought yesterday. It's like, yeah, I don't think there's much to this.
Well, this kind of reminds me of a situation with Philip Forsberg a year ago, and Andy Strickland put it out there that the Predators were shopping Philip Forsberg, and we spent a whole day talking about that.
Strickland,
and what does that mean?
That's right.
And all this other stuff. When the word shopping is used, my first question is always, all right, well, what is that?
Yeah.
Like, what is your definition of shopping? Because, like we talked about with Forsberg a year ago, if you're checking to see what the value of somebody is, that's not shopping. Shopping to me is, hey, he's available. Tell me what you'd give for him, but we're looking to trade him. That's shopping. So what is the definition of shopping? That's always my first question when reports of a player being shopped is coming out. Like, what do you mean by that? Like, what's your definition of shopping?
That's a great point. It's almost like that word, to me, I think it probably gets misused. And it almost should be like, just like, remove it and use different terms, because I think people use it. If you use it, it should mean we want to trade this guy. What will you give him for us?
Right.
We are trading him. So here you go. Shop around. You know, it's like, you know, you have a garage sale. Like, yeah. Please, you know, here.
Buy me know if you have any questions.
Buy my bong from college, you know, $2.
And your incense.
Yeah, there you go. And lava lamp.
Yes, all of it.
But I think in a lot of cases, it's not really shopping. It's actually, right? It's actually like, hey, what would you think?
Yeah.
If you're inquiring or, again, assessing value, just having a conversation, that should not rise to the level of the verb shopping.
No, like, if that was the case, then think about how many people would be, quote, unquote, shopped out there. Like, we talked about this yesterday. One of your jobs as a general manager is to always have an idea of what the value for your players is. I mean, you never know when a situation comes up that you've got to make a deal. So, like, knowing what the base value is for your assets on your team is part of your job. But that, to me, is not the same thing as shopping a player around. Like, I just – that's really the one thing that stands out to me in all this is – all right, well, what does shopping mean? Because I would be surprised, like you, and we talked about this yesterday, if the Titans were like, yep, all right, Derrick Henry, we're trading him. Give me your best offer, and we'll go to the highest bidder. Like, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. Now, if in the process of determining his value, you find out that maybe it's a little higher than you thought, and you could get some good return, good draft capital back for him, then maybe you consider it at that point. But that, to me, is not the same thing as shopping, and I think that's where a lot of these stories that come out, whether it's in football, whether it's in hockey, whatever sport it is, a lot of this gets conflated to me.
Right. And, yeah, if there's any mention at all, if there's any conversation at all, and then that gets relayed to someone in media, it'll get out one way or the other, and that's kind of up to interpretation. And I think in a lot of cases, like if you look at how Michael Silver presented it, it was just like kind of a throw-in. You know,
yeah.
It's like, oh, by the way, I heard this name. You know, it's not like he's, you know, he had some, you know, standalone report about Derrick Henry, and hearing this, you know, this bombshell that they're actively trying to trade him. Mark in Ashland City says that Kaharski actually tweeted about this. Okay, let me go to Kaharski's
tweet.
I've
got the tweet pulled up. It says, maybe semantics at play here, but if Mike Silver had multiple GMs telling him Titans were shopping Derrick Henry at the combine, they were at minimum testing the market. Refuting that likely amounts to asking the team if it's true and getting what should be an expected denial. That's what PK said on Twitter.
Yeah, I guess. I guess we look at it differently. Maybe we can have an argument about it. Yeah, so this is – I mean, I'm going to have to – So Mike Silver, we don't hear a lot from him in the end. Like, Jonathan Jones is constantly covering the NFL, right? I mean, he's a CBS Sports NFL, so he's competing on a daily basis with – well, he's competing on a daily basis with, you know, Schefter, Rappaport. I mean, not necessarily as a volume here. Oh, an agent just called me. Here, you can put this scoop out now. Adam, oh, I'm sorry, I gave this one to Ian. Sorry, Adam. But, you know, he's in that realm of breaking news, reporting on the league, you know, with Peter King or Charles, you know, whoever you want to throw in there. Michael Silver, I mean, he's a columnist for the San Francisco Chronicle, which means you write about all kinds of different things.
Right.
He writes about the Golden State Warriors and whatever, you know. That's just such a different job. That doesn't mean – I mean, he's been around a long time, so it doesn't mean he doesn't have good sources in the league and stuff like that. So, and it's an interesting – my initial – when I saw Jones do it, I'm like, okay, see, this is more – and, yes, I'm sure that it's not like he went to the Saints and said, hey, you think the Titans are shopping Derrick Henry? I mean, I'm sure he went to, you know, Titan sources with that.
With Jim Irsay. Jim, what do you think? Titans shopping Derrick Henry?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
They are. Yes. Put it out there. Thank you for bringing Jim Irsay into this.
I always try.
Now I need to go back and see exactly. I forget exactly how Silver phrased it. Did he say multiple GMs told him that? Did he actually say that?
Said, according to his sources that are current NFL general managers.
Okay. You have it in front of the whole thing? I want to read the whole thing. We need to play semantics and parsing words.
Let me find that real quickly.
I mean, we just talked about it yesterday, but again,
he's tweeted a lot in the span of a day. So good for him, I guess.
He does tweet a lot. And there's, you know, oh, okay, let's see. Well, he's retweeting Kaharsky tweets, so I don't know. Is this a Kaharsky? Is this actually collusion between Mike Silver and Paul Kaharsky?
Is that what
we figured out?
And now my page is unresponsive. That's good stuff.
They've both been around a couple years.
Well, regardless, like the Derrick Henry part of this, and it was interesting because I heard I can't remember if it was on Chase and Michelle or if it was on Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace yesterday. It may have been both. Playing comments from Bussin' with the Boys that Derrick Henry had earlier this offseason, talking about, you know, how he realizes, you know, I'm 29, like in the NFL, that's considered old for a running back. Who knows? They could want to move off of me this offseason. Like, this has at least been something that has entered the mind of Derrick Henry based on comments that he had on Bussin' with the Boys earlier this offseason.
Okay, Michelle sent this. I'll read it again. So this is – okay, but here's another question though, before I read it. So this is from – okay, so he's writing for Bally too.
Yeah.
He has multiple jobs. I can relate. Okay, quote, keep an eye on this. If the divide continues – okay. Okay, I'll just read the actual Derrick Henry. Quote, according to my sources, all of them current general managers, Tennessee Titans running back Derrick Henry, Jalen Ramsey, DeAndre Hopkins are among the players who have been shopped in recent days. And that was before – you know, that's the second part of a paragraph – about trade talk being rampant at the combine. And who is the 26-year-old quarterback he's talking about, by the way?
Lamar.
Okay, so he's talking about Lamar. Then he says, by the way, trade talk was rampant. And according to my sources, all of them current general managers.
Multiple.
So he does say he mentions those players. And, of course, you know, the funny thing is, you know, Ramsey and Hopkins, you know, I think that's pretty – like, that's been out
pretty
there, right?
Yeah.
So Henry is sort of the one in there like, interesting. Here's the thing, like, so if there's really an active, if there's really like an active attempt to trade Derrick Henry, which first of all, that doesn't make a lot of sense again to me because I don't think you're getting much anyway. Then I think, you know, is a real possibility that there's nothing from Jonathan Jones or anyone else yesterday. So PK is right. Like, you would expect a denial. It's not a technically an official denial from the Titans. It's sources in the league.
Right.
But I think that if there was an active shopping situation, then I think maybe you just wouldn't have anything. You know what I mean? Like, If Jonathan Jones has someone here saying, no, that's not it, why do that if it is it?
If it comes out like 3 days later, they've traded Derrick Henry. No, man, it's not it.
Yeah, again, that's just on Jonathan Jones, and that's the problem. You know, with anonymous sourcing, the credit, I mean, ultimately it's on him for saying there's nothing, and then something happens. Well, what are you talking about, man?
Right.
But there's still reporters and their sources. There's also a certain level of trust that you have to count on. Like, you're not going to just lie to me, right? Because I'm not naming you.
Right.
I think it all adds up to, like, there's nothing that's going to happen with Derrick Henry. But again, I appreciate 2 days now that we can talk about this.
615-737-1025. What do you make of the conflicting reports of Derrick Henry being shopped by the Titans? We'll continue that discussion coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Play hooky and join 102.5 The Game at Jasper's, located at 1918 West End Avenue, Thursday, March 16th for the first day of tournament games. While you're there, take advantage of the Shot and a Beer special. That's a shot of Nelson's Greenbrier Tennessee Whiskey plus a bottled domestic beer for just $10. Jasper's, they've got an oversized bar, TVs, a game room that makes them the place to be to catch all of the games. Make sure you check that out coming up next Thursday, March 16th. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 The Game. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by Superbook. We are live from our 1025 The Game studio, brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. We'll have the choice is yours coming up at 7:30. Some shifting of the schedule today to accommodate Willie Donick wanting to join the show and yell at Joe Rex.
Yell at me.
So anytime Willie wants to yell at Joe, we will make that happen. That's coming up at 8:30. Choice is yours with Michelle Knezovic in the questions chair coming up at 7:30. So looking forward to that. Right now, talking Titans, taking your thoughts, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Drew on the text line says, I don't give a damn about him being 29 years old, referring to Derrick Henry. He's built different and has 5 to 7 years of great football left in him. He's a guy you ride behind as long as he's throwing people out of the stadium with that stiff arm.
You don't trade players like him or AJ you know who ever. This is from Drew on the text line.
5 to 7?
I don't know if I can buy 5 to 7 with that.
Woo!
That's a long time.
Again, this is the funny thing is like it's like there's some anger toward the Titans and like probably based on very little reason for there to be anger, other than really what they should do is find out about value of certain players, you know.
Ryan, I swear if the first move you make is to trade Derrick Henry, I'm done.
Yeah, get rid of my season tickets. I've seen about the multiple GM thing with Silver. So again, you're listing several players in one paragraph, which is a tack on to your writing about Lamar Jackson. So you know, multiple GMs, one could be talking about each of those guys, and it could be multiple GMs. See the level to which I'm going with the parsing here. You know what I mean? Like he didn't explicitly say multiple GMs said this about each of these players, right?
Right.
So I think what happened here is probably some kind of a conversation about, yeah, what would he fetch? I mean, I would ask the question. I'd like to know if I'm a new GM of a team, or even if I'm not a new GM of a team, if I'm a GM of a team every offseason, looking at my options of my better players, what's the market value? So then that gets thrown out in this, and then Jonathan Jones asks someone here, and they say, no, we're not shopping Derrick Henry.
Right.
And that's pretty much the end of it, but – Drew and people, I get it. If you even hear the suggestion of this, you get upset about it.
Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in George. George, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Thank you. I just wanted to say pretty much what Joe just said. We have a UGM. In my opinion, this is just proof that he's doing his job. He's trying to build a championship team. And he needs to know the value of everyone on that team to do his job properly. And I just want to applaud Rand for doing this because everyone is expendable. We all know that. And we all love Derrick Henry. And none of us as fans want him to be anywhere else. But that's my take on it.
Hey, thanks for the call, George. I mean, look, I agree. I mean, I think – it's a business. Like, this is professional sports. Like, I would hope that David Poyle and soon-to-be Barry Trotz has an idea in their head about what exactly the value looks like for Roman Josi. Now, Roman Yossi's got a no-movement clause and a full no-trade clause, and he totally controls his destiny. I still would hope my general manager has a rough idea of what he'd be worth out there. Like, I think it never hurts to know what your players are worth. Now, if it's more than that, and Rand Carthon is actively looking to trade Derrick Henry, then that's a different conversation. But there's no indication that that's the case to this point.
Come get your Derrick Henry, everybody. All right, here we go. Just doing an auction at, like, the bar at, in Indy. Yeah. Who wants Derrick Henry? Come on. Come one, come all.
Anybody got a second-round pick they can throw out there?
Yeah. Bogo, I'll throw in Antrell Hilliard, too. No, he's a free agent. Because if you just think about trading Derrick Henry, and this is where also I think when people get upset about it, I think there's an impulse to be upset about the idea, which I understand, but also to think that there's more coming back for him, so it would be a more viable thing. I don't see a lot coming back.
Dennis on the text line says, every time a house sells in my neighborhood, I check the estimated value of my home. Am I actively looking to sell my house? Nope. This is from Dennis on the text line. Again.
Real world example from Dennis.
We're
going to
really downplay this, and then, 2 days from now,
well,
2 hours from now, Derrick Henry gets sent to the Baltimore Ravens or something.
Just happen. Like our J-Rob show. He's never getting fired.
Yeah, it's going to be fun.
Yeah. It'll look happen at 9:03. Julio? Oh, they're not going to trade for Julio. Get out of here. No. I'm not saying 100% this is not happening, but I think that this is – a conversation that gets thrown into a paragraph and it becomes that this is what happens though. Back in the day, if Michael Silver wrote this in the pages of the San Francisco Chronicle, we wouldn't even know. You'd have to look it up on microfiche in your library years later. So,
oh man, you're old. Got a text.
Yes, thank you.
We need to decide as a fan base, do we want a championship team or do we want players that retire here? Like, come on, what do we play for? This is from a texter on the text line.
Well, I agree.
I understand that thought. Like, the idea, I've never really bought into the, well, so-and-so is one of the most important players in the history of franchise. They deserve to end their career here.
It's okay. Never.
I mean, how often does that really happen?
That's a loser mentality.
It doesn't happen very often. Now, having said that, again, what is the value for Derrick Henry? Like, is trading Derrick Henry and getting back a third-round pick or a fourth-round pick, like, is that going to be the difference in whether or not you're playing for a championship in a couple of years? Probably not.
Exactly. Exactly. Now, the idea of, in general, getting ahead of – and John Robinson was pretty good at this, by the way. I mean, I remember when he traded Jarrell Casey. I'm like, what are you doing? You got Jarrell Casey and Jeff Simmons in his second year. That's a monster combo. Well, turned out that he timed that pretty well. It's so important in this league to be a year ahead instead of a year late on things like that. So, yeah, like, it's just how it goes. There's a sentimental value. You always have the time with Derrick Henry. I think you're going to have this year with Derrick Henry, and I think he could have another really good year. He doesn't have 5 to 7 years left.
He does not.
And look, Derrick Henry's past his prime. Can we all agree on this? I mean, this may be a sentence that people scream about, but he's past his prime. His prime was he could go 80 yards on you any point, and also he's this size, and he's averaging 5.5 a carry and right. getting 2,000 yards. He's still a great player, but he's not going to be getting back to 80-yard touchdowns, I don't believe, in the future.
Not on a consistent basis. I mean, he didn't have one last year. Now, he broke some big runs last
sure.
year.
And he got caught.
He got caught.
He used to not get caught.
So what does that mean as you move forward? Like, is that going to get better as he turns 30? Probably not. Just my guess.
Like, he's going to – we will see outrageous workouts this
he's still
season.
Really good.
Yeah, and he'll continue to be able to take the beating. I mean, what he does, so much of it is to be able to be durable enough to take the beating. It's incredible
right.
what he's done. But, yeah, he is on the other side, as any human doing what he's done would be, even if he's almost partially superhuman.
LD from McMinnville says, would the Titans have any interest in Jalen Ramsey? That's from LD from McMinnville. What do you think of that? Obviously, there's the connection of Jalen Ramsey being from here, but I don't know if I could see
that. He's a really good player. He's definitely a distraction. I mean, you can live with that if you're CB1 in this league. Is he still CB1 in this league? And then there's the number two. It's amazing how quickly market value shifts on players in this league, you know? Because I would say not long ago, I would have said, yeah.
I mean, he's 28.
Yeah, it's not like he's not ancient or anything.
Yeah.
But you got to really be sure when you – that's why, like, with Jeffrey Simmons and his age and where he is, yes, you pay that. But are you paying 28-year-old Jalen Ramsey and having that take up?
Caleb Farley be healthy next year at some point. Well, put him in there.
I'm so glad that this could shift to Caleb Farley. Congratulations.
First round pick.
Here goes the text line.
Going up next, it's time for The Choice Is Yours. We'll take your thoughts, your submissions, as always, on our text line, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game.
This, we all have choices to make. This, like right now. It's The Choice Is Yours, built by Jared Companies. You have a choice, so when you have a need for site and utility work, fire protection, concrete and asphalt services, the choice is simple. It's Jared Companies. For more, visit JaredCompaniesInc.com. The choice is yours, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
And it is that time of the week, time for The Choice Is Yours here on Robbie and Rex Road. A bit of an adjustment this week. Usually at 8:30, today it's 7:30, because we're making time for Willie Donick to yell at Joe Rexroad later. So I'm looking forward to that. The Choice Is Yours, brought to you by Jarrett Companies, your one-stop shop for site and utility work, fire protection, paving, and concrete needs. Get your free estimate at JarrettCompaniesInc.com. Michelle Knezovic in the questions chair today. Michelle, the floor is yours. I turn things over to you.
Well, in honor of the SEC tournament starting today and Willie Donick bumping our segment, this will be a college basketball choice is yours.
Ooh.
So
yes.
What get do excited. We want to start with, guys? Sports or non-sports?
non-sports, because I'm excited that non-sports is college basketball too.
Yes, it is. Okay, so this is going to be an easy one. Non-sports. What is your all-time favorite college basketball uniform?
Ooh, all-time favorite college basketball uniform.
I can go first if you guys need a minute to think. So mine, it doesn't matter whether the home jerseys, whether they're away jerseys. They never try to do anything funky with it and change up the colors. It's North Carolina blue, which I know is, I'm a Kentucky fan. I shouldn't like other blue bloods, but the baby blue, I just think looks so perfect, especially on their home court. It goes with the hardwood and everything. It's got the Jordan logo. They're just so unique, but also so traditional. Those are my all-time favorite college basketball uniforms.
Okay.
So I'm with you. I mean, that's what immediately came to mind. I would actually go 1A, 1B, though, and I'd go UCLA, too. Both cases, that classic, like, light blue, whatever you want to call it. I mean, I know North Carolina is baby blue. I don't know what UCLA's official blue is, but those blue on both of them, and with UCLA, with also like the gold with it, I love that too. I might actually just go there. That's another kind of like blue blood, but like former blue blood, you know. But long overall historical blue blood, yeah. I think those two are the easy top two for me.
2003 Marquette jerseys, just because D Wade looked great in them. Love me some D Wade.
Okay,
some Golden Eagles.
Well, I'm gonna have to go back and look at that. Tom Crean, baby.
I've been in the Bradley Center before, which I think no longer exists in Milwaukee. Looking up and seeing that nice retired Marquette Dwayne Wade jersey in the rafters. It's good stuff.
Those are great jerseys, by the way.
I just looked them up, yeah.
Those I like that style for them. I don't even know what they're wearing now.
I couldn't tell you what Marquette's
Bradley
wearing now.
Bradley Center doesn't exist anymore?
I don't know if it's there anymore or not.
Or it's just called
something
different.
I know they're not different. Doing anything in there, for sure. Because the Admirals don't play there, and the Bucks obviously don't play there anymore.
Is it a different place where they play?
The Ads?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're in Milwaukee Panther Arena, like down the street. It's all on the same street.
Okay, because I covered MTSU at that place. I guess, when would that – I guess that's 6 years ago.
The
Michigan State game was in St. Louis. The next year they got in the tournament again. They beat Minnesota in the Bradley Center. So, all right, there you go. Lots of brats that weekend. All right.
Switching to sports. From now on, so their careers starting today – who is more likely to win a national championship, Rick Barnes or Jerry Stackhouse?
I like it. Ooh. I will answer.
It doesn't have to, or sorry.
Doesn't have to be where they currently are.
Yeah. So, I mean, Rick Barnes will probably stay with Tennessee, but Jerry, he's still young.
Yeah, I'm going to go Jerry Stackhouse. I'm going to answer that quickly. And that basically, to me, is because there's a lot more years ahead. Now, look, I think that Jerry Stackhouse also could be an NBA head coach here down the road if he wants to be. I think what he does as a coach is going to be appealing to NBA front office people. But also, I do think he loves his job. I think he's kind of demonstrated that too. So that's the only hesitation I have is Stackhouse's long term going to be like 20 years as an NBA head coach, and then obviously take him out. But other than that, between just the much longer time he would have, I think Rick Barnes is going to retire pretty soon. Mm-hmm. And look, Rick Barnes struggles in March. Rick Barnes he's been a really good college basketball coach for 40 years, and he's been to one Final Four, and he's 25-26 in the NCAA tournament. So all of that together, it's a quick answer for me.
I'm going Barnes. I think,
boom.
Well, look, I do think at some point, number one, Jerry Stackhouse has done a great job this year at Vanderbilt. He's not winning the national title at Vanderbilt. I think at some point he's going to the NBA. So that's part of my answer here.
But he could also go to.
He could go to another college and then go to NBA.
He could go to, by the way,
North Carolina.
He could. If the timing worked out.
He could. Yeah. And that he definitely have a chance there. But I'm going Barnes just because, right now he's recruiting really well and he's putting together really good rosters. And I understand his tournament record is what it is, but I mean, at some point you would think that they get hot at the right time with the talent they have, there's a chance there that he could do it. So I'll go Barnes.
So this one was tough for me, but a lot of the same reasons you guys kind of laid out. Rick Barnes has had the teams and he's shown that he can get the players to Tennessee that have the talent to win a national championship. But like Robbie said, if they can get hot in March, there's always a question. But Rick Barnes's record in March is not strong. He's just under 500. And I look at Jerry Stackhouse, and actually, Joe, you brought up the UNC thing. I actually think this year has been really, really, I mean, he won co-SEC Coach of the Year. He's up for some National Coach of the Year. He's a finalist for a couple of those awards. And I look at what Liam Robbins does, even in just the small time he's been on the court and his ability to develop these players. I don't think it'll be at Vanderbilt, but I do think Jerry Stackhouse will win one as a college coach. Maybe UNC, who knows? But I do think he'll get another big-time coaching job. Okay, switching back.
That's a great question.
Yeah, switching back to non-sports. This is a fun one. Your 102.5 The Game starting five.
Okay, so this is on-air talent or everybody included?
It can be on-air talent. It can be producers, people in the sales department, promotions, our entire business side of things. Anybody. Anybody and everybody is on the table. I can go first so you guys can think for a second.
Okay.
Starting at point guard, because I think he's probably has the best ball handling skills, is going to be the one and only Joe Rexrode.
Yes.
My two.
Put me at the one.
My two. An athletic, still athletic, shifty guy, Derek Mason.
Oh, yeah.
My three. This one was a little bit tougher for me, but my three is going to be Ryan Burke.
Ryan from Chicago.
My four is going to be, who is coming up later in the show, Willie Donick, the Rocket, they call them at Vanderbilt. And my five, people might feel a certain way about this, but listen, I know he is not very athletic whatsoever.
Oh, God.
But all I will tell Chase McCabe to do
is
stand there, arms up, and take it.
Oh, no.
He is not allowed to move. Listen, I want him just to stand there on defense. We don't need him on offense because of our team.
Oh, boy.
I want Chase to stand there on defense, arms up.
Have you watched Chase do anything athletically?
I will say if Elijah Campbell was still here at the station, he'd be my five.
Oh, man.
Okay, one of you two next.
That's a great point. All right, well, real quick. The three of us here on my starting team. I mean, come on. So so right here. So we're 1-2 and Robbie 4, and then I'll go D Mace at the 3 and I'll go Donick at the 5.
There you go. That's good.
There you go.
So, I mean, look.
And sorry Ryan from Chicago could be our sixth man.
Yeah,
instant offense.
Sixth man of
instant
the year.
Instant offense off the bench.
Yes. I'm taking us 3-2 and then I'll go D Mace. Like I want to put Jared in my starting five. I really do because I want to see it. I'm doing it. I'm leaving Willie out. Willie can be the sixth man. Jared's my five.
So,
I want to see it.
So my team destroys both of you.
I'm not
great.
She asked me what my starting five would be. I want to see Jared in the starting five. I'm doing it.
Now I actually want to see Jared and Chase 1-on-1.
I do too.
We need to make this happen.
What a
team bonding.
What a sack race that would be.
Okay, guys, switching out to sports. Our last question. What is one college basketball coach you would never want to see win the national championship because they just get under your skin so much? And it has to be a current college basketball coach. So can't say K, which he just again to win one. We're not saying him. So I will go first for this one to give you guys a minute to think.
Okay.
Bruce Pearl.
Mm-hmm.
He gives me major PTSD moments from 2019, my senior year. Kentucky was in, it was either Sweet 16 to go to the Elite Eight or Elite Eight to go to the Final Four, I forget. You know, Auburn just, they crushed my soul. They beat us in the SEC tournament one year. And the guy is just off the rocker and he grinds my gears. He does. He's loud. He's vocal. I mean, we played his audio last week.
See, that makes me want to see him win.
He grinds my gears. Rick Pitino, though, he's a close second. So,
okay. He's won one.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but I mean, like, again.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Well, I'm going to stay in the same state. I mean, I'll just do the obvious and I'll go Nate Oates. I mean, this whole thing, you know, Brandon Miller, separate from, like, what should happen with him, like, Nate Oates' handling of this publicly is awful. And he is a very, you know, you look at those two guys at those rivals. Talk about, like, hard-to-like coaches who are rivals.
I mean, Bruce Pearl is pretty easy to like. Yeah, all I got to do just start yelling smash and joke, and I like him all the way.
He's entertaining as hell. There's no doubt about that.
And if he's your coach, I would love him if I was an Arkansas fan.
Yeah, there's an Auburn
fan.
There's another guy, by the way. Boy, this league has some beauts. Let me tell you something.
I mean, do we really have to ask what my answer is? I know he's already won one, but Calipari. I mean, it'd just be hilarious if they never won another one. It's him by far.
So he bothers you. And I understand, like, you know, a lot of people don't like Calipari, but he bothers you more than anybody else.
Yeah.
Interesting. I've come over the years to kind of enjoy him.
I just think it would be funny to watch the meltdown if he doesn't win another one. That's really more than anything else.
I gotcha. Yeah.
But yeah, I don't really like it.
If Nate Oates wins one, like if Nate Oates or Eric Musselman were to win one, they'd rip their shirt off and, like, you know, start slapping innocent bystanders.
Yes. When Eric Musselman won the game last year and he just has his shirt off and his arm sling and he's just running around with the students.
It's interesting stuff.
Yeah.
Interesting stuff. This has been The Choice Is Yours. You can check it out. Go ahead.
So I'm just saying, Tennessee fans, I mean, when it comes to, like, different ways of judging coaches, you do get
the likability.
You do have it pretty well.
Rick Barnes is such a great guy.
Yeah.
Some people think he's too good a guy.
Some people don't give a crap, but I'm just saying.
People think he's too good a guy. Ah, there you go, shaking hands after the game.
Too nice.
What
soft
is
players.
That?
Hey, Rick, would you please use some F-bombs? Ever?
Coming up next, it's time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad. You can check it out every morning at 7:45. This is Robbie and Rexroad, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment, let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rexroad.
Glorious. I love it, I'm victorious.
It's so stupid. It's a terrible song. And it is that time of the day. Time for the Rex Rant here on Robbie and Rex Road. You can check it out every morning at 7:45. Either the Rex Rant, the Rob Rant, the Red Rant. Who knows what's coming down the pike on a daily basis. Joe Rex Road, you're on the clock today. I turn things over to you.
It's like Michelle reads my mind. Not that I ever want to hear that again, and every time I hear it, I'm reminded of how awful my voice sounds, and then, plus, I did that. But I am going to talk about hockey today, so.
Oh.
Interesting.
I did read your mind.
A little, yeah. How about that? So, I don't know if you guys saw this. This is from my athletic coworker, Peter Baugh, who, by the way, is probably, like, the nicest kid
human
in
being
sports
on the
media.
Yes.
Yeah. Like, you're too nice, Peter. Speaking of someone who needs to use F-bombs.
Peter, you and Rick Barnes, get out there and start yelling at people.
Nate Oates yells F-bombs at his cereal in the morning. Come on. But this is from the other day. Dallas takes it to Colorado, and Mikko Rantanen is in the penalty box. You see this?
Yeah.
And, yeah, these Dallas fans are all over him. Oh, yeah, whatever. You know, whatever they're saying. And so he turns back and, you know, just shows his little, like,
shows the ring.
The ring. Yeah. Like, hey, yeah, look at the ring there. And then the fans are laughing. Like, if you look at the video, which Peter, this was, he retweeted BR Open Ice on this.
Yeah.
You know, it's the cam from the penalty box. And the fans are like, oh, that's great. That's a great back and forth. I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. Personality. You're a human. You're not an AI robot. I just keep to myself and play for the hockey. And no. Like, show some personality. Talk a little trash. So Peter has, this is Rantanen's comment from that, said his ring gesture, quote, was unnecessary.
Yeah.
He said he was very frustrated that night. Quote, maybe I have to learn to keep my cool. Some guys are very good at it. I'm not very good at it. You turned around and showed your ring to them. It's funny. This is the problem with hockey. My God, have some personality and talk some trash. Like, I saw this, and I know I'm like, too, like, upset about it, but it totally encapsulates my issue with hockey. It's okay to have personality and, you know, single yourself out at times and have fun and getting a little back and forth. You don't have to apologize for everything. Like, compare this to everything else in sports.
Well, it's not like
absurd.
It's not like he gave the fans like the double bird or anything like that. He showed him the ring finger.
I mean, I'd be in favor of that too, but that one, I get it. Like, okay, fine. You should apologize for that. There's probably kids behind you, right? Okay, fine.
No, I agree. Look, hockey is my first love. It is why I'm sitting in this chair today. I love hockey. It's my favorite sport. But I am so with you here. Like, that's part of what made P.K. Subban great. Like, look, I can tell you, being around P.K., there were times where he got on my nerves. Like, it happened. And there were some things that went along with it that I wasn't necessarily a huge fan of. But at least the guy had some personality. Like, I always tried to remember that it's good for the game when he's got personality. And, look, there's the old school way of thought that, well, hockey's like – they're the ultimate team guys, and they don't want to put anything in front of the team, and they don't want to make anything about themselves. And sure, I mean, all that's well and good. But, like, I talked about this, I think it was last week on Twitter, and some Edmonton fans got really mad at me. It was really funny. But, like, there's this video of Connor McDavid winning Molson Cup, which, now, granted, is something he's won 100 times, and it's given to, like, Canadian hockey players at different times throughout whatever. And the look on his face, having to sit there and take a picture of winning the Molson Cup, it's like somebody is like scraping his toenails off his body. Like, it's just so much pain.
It's like that J.J. Watt mugshot.
Yeah, it's like, what are you doing? It's like, and that's the face of the league. And I love Connor McDavid. I've said this before. I think he is the best player in the world at his sport. You can talk about Patrick Mahomes. You can talk about LeBron James. I don't care who you talk about. I think right now, Connor McDavid is the best player in the world at his sport in the entire planet. But oh my gosh, the guy has no personality. It's like talking to a wood door. Like, it's unbelievable to me.
Yeah, like, that's even another step. This is like, you know, don't apologize for actually having some fun, little banter with opposing fans. This is like, dude, can you like have a fake smile for 5 seconds when you go to center ice?
It's unbelievable. But it's a
can you give us more than 3-word answers?
Like, it's a problem with hockey as a whole because, like, look, I love hockey. I want to see hockey grow. I want to see hockey do well. And I think part of that has to be they have to do a much better job of marketing themselves. Like, I think a lot of fans, they love watching these guys play. They have no idea who these people are. Like, they have no clue the personality that some of these people have. Like, I've been fortunate enough to be around NHL locker rooms for over a decade. And I can tell you, like, when the camera's off, there's a lot of really fun people in the game. A lot of really cool people. Like, Shea Weber, to me, like, he was awesome. Like, he turned that camera off. He's, like, the most down-to-earth guy. He's got a great personality. Camera comes on, it's completely different. And I get it to some degree. Like,
blah, blah, blah.
Look, you know, there are people out there that sometimes take advantage of that. I understand that. But open things up a little bit. The game needs way more personality than they've got right now.
This is why, like, when Brad Marchand licks someone's face, good.
Have at it.
Do that.
Yeah, I'm with you.
I go back to Johansson, you know, I mean, the Ducks, Preds. Awesome. That's what that's what we need. I mean, how many of, like, the great NBA, you know, playoff, I mean, my memory is a sports fan, but just in general, whether as a Pistons fan or just in general, Reggie Miller with the choke sign to Spike Lee. I mean, come on. Like, this is fun. It is sports. It is fun. It should be.
It should be fun. And, like, I don't really need to see you apologizing for talking trash. Like,
you didn't even say anything. He, like, showed his ring. It's beautiful. That's beautiful.
It's amazing. Like, it's just.
Like, did
live
so.
Live a little.
Like, I need to know, like, and I think I'm going to ask Peter this. Like, did someone, like, in the order, they say, well, you know, Mikko, I don't know about that. Like, did he feel compelled on his own to do that? Or did someone say, ooh, tisk, tisk on that? I mean, everyone should laugh and say, nice, good one, man. You got him. Zing. The fan laughed, too. And then he had a sip of his beer, and everybody went home.
Yeah.
And, it's so frustrating.
Like, there's a lot of exciting players in the game. And I think the game itself is in as good of a spot as it's ever been in. I really do. Like, I think it's fun to watch. There's a ton of skill in the game today, and that's the most important thing you got to have. But one thing that would help going along with it is just a little bit more personality in the game. I think you've hit on something here.
Nate says, it's okay to have brawls in hockey with no apology, but you have a personality when you do, you feel like you need to apologize. It's amazing. That's a good point, too.
It is. 615-737.
Sorry that I just knocked 4 teeth out of your head. Nah, we don't need that. But apologize for showing your ring.
615-737-1025. This has been the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad. You can check it out every morning at 745. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Paul Kuharsky from paulkuharsky.com. We'll get his thoughts on everything relating to the Tennessee Titans with free agency coming up next week in the National Football League. That's coming up next. Nashville's best deal of the week is from Seafood Sensation. Often imitated but never duplicated, it's Nashville's original seafood restaurant. While supplies last, grab half off a $25 gift card to the Seafood Sensation located at 2209 Murfreesboro Pike in Antioch and enjoy some of your favorite seafood dishes like their crab legs platter, grilled salmon, and more. You can check those out at thegamenashville.com/deals. The gift card only good for their Antioch location. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game.
What defines Ohio? A place that dares to go first and never looks back. There's no slowing us down. In Ohio, we're powering America, discovering breakthroughs, driving the future, propelling tomorrow. At Jobs Ohio, our mission is clear. Strengthen job opportunities and empower Ohio's workforce. Ohio, our time is now. See Ohio's momentum at jobsohio.com/ohio's time.